Okay, today's daf is Tzadi Zayin. We're going to start at the Mishnah on Tzadi Vav Amud Bet. Okay, and there's a sheet to go along. Make sure you have a sheet. There's a lot of charts today. Okay, I just want to start, before we start, I want to go back and just review one thing about Shinui. Okay, the Kinyan Gzela. We've been talking for a few days about this Kinyan Gzela, where when you steal something and then some sort of change happens to it, and we've been discussing what type of change, how serious a change. Today we're going to get into more details. You end up, the gazlan acquires the object. So the question is, I just want to review a few of the ramifications of this, and the last one being what we ended with yesterday. So one thing is, if the item changes, then you don't actually need to return the item, you only need to return the value of the item, right? That was one thing. Another issue, by the way, is if it gets lost and you no longer have it. Let's say something ones happened. Now, if you were watching someone's item, depending on what type of shomer you are, most shomerim, unless you were a shoel, a borrower, if ones happened, you rented something or you were watching something for someone, some crazy something happened, and the item got lost. So you don't need to return it. However, if you're a gazlan, since you acquired the object, then you acquire responsibility for the object. In other words, it's almost irrelevant what happens to the object. The object becomes yours, basically. And you still have to owe the money. So if some onus happens to the object that you stole, you're still required to return it. So in a sense, we kept looking at Kinyan Gzela as it works to the benefit of the gazlan, but not always. In this case, it's going to actually mean that the gazlan is going to have to pay. And another difference is what we talked about yesterday, which is we ended with that weird case where he uses the animal, or he steals the animal, he uses it, and then he returns the animal as is, and he doesn't have to pay for the use of the animal, right? We said unless he keeps doing this and we want to prevent him from doing it. So this is also connected, because if you use the animal and it becomes yours, then you're using your own animal. You're not using someone else's animal. You follow? When he stole that animal and then used it to plow his field, so that animal became his.
So he was returning something that was his, not the other guy.
Exactly. So he was basically returning, well, he wasn't returning something that was his, he was returning the value, he returned the actual item. But in a sense, you could say that by working on it, he acquired it, and then it became his, and then he didn't have to return it. Okay? Okay, we're going to get into more cases today of changes. Gazal behema v'hiskina. The animal got old. Okay, what's the purpose of the animal getting old? Well, he can't work anymore. Avadim v'hiskinu. Same thing. The avadim are now older. They don't work as well. Mishalen kishat hagzela. Okay, so according to this, same thing. It was a change in the animal. He still has to pay kishat hagzela. That's Chachamim's opinion. But Rabbi Meir omer, ba'avadim omer lo haresha chalafanecha. When it comes to avadim, there's no such thing as a kinyan gzela. Why is that? This goes back to a machloket we've seen in the past. Okay, you can look at the chart. That Rabbi Meir holds, avadim are like karka. Remember, we had a whole debate, are avadim like karka, or are they like metal to the movable property? So if we say they're like karka, now karka, if you steal land, there's no such thing as a kinyan gzela, because you can't bring it into your property. It doesn't apply. The whole issue of kinyan gzela that we've been discussing doesn't apply to property. So if it doesn't apply to property, comes Rabbi Meir, and he says it also doesn't apply to avadim. Okay, now we're going to have different cases. Gazal matbea binistak. He steals a coin and it gets a hole in it. Okay, we'll see different interpretations of what exactly, or a crack in it, right? It breaks. Peirot vihirkivu. Okay, fruits and they turn rotten. Yain vihichmitz, the wine went sour. Mishalem kishata gzela. Okay, these are all shinuim that you'd say something happened to the item, it's no longer the same, therefore we're mishalem kishata gzela.
They're all negative changes too.
They're all negative changes, that's true. Okay, they put the item out of commission, basically. They render it useless, I would even say. Although I guess yain vihichmitz could still be usable as chometz, to use it as vinegar. Matbea v'nifsal, but what if you had a matbea that was totally, okay, it was canceled? We're going to see, what does this mean? Generally, we're going to say this means that the government took it out of circulation. They say, oh, we no longer are using this currency, like the old shekel. Truma v'nitmet, okay, what if it's truma and it becomes tame? Chametz v'avar lava Pesach, okay, it was they didn't cancel it on Pesach. None of these things can be used anymore. Beheva v'nitabdaba avera, although we'll see the matbea v'nifsal, maybe it could be used. Truma, by the way, you have to burn. Okay? Behema v'nitavda ba'avira. If you use the behema either for avodah zara, okay, or the animal had sex with a person. So, and then it can't be used for a korban at all, okay? Or I think also you have to burn the animal?
Stone.
You have to stone the animal, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Oshen if salame al gabe. Well, the other case is stoning at the end. Are you sure this is stoning? I forget. I don't remember what happens. It's psulala korban, it says here in Rashi.
It says the reference here is to only one witness testified to the act of bestiality, where two witnesses attest, it has to be stoned.
Oh, okay. There you go. Okay, so it's stoned. Thank you. Oshen if salame al gabe mizbeach. Okay, or it can't be used anymore on the mizbeach. O shaita yotz ali sakel, or shornagach, right? And it's supposed to be stoned. Omer lo haresha chalapanecha. In all of these cases, remember, we had this, by the way. We saw this line about once it's supposed to be stoned. Remember, we get to the Gemara Din, right? And you could just say, oh, take your animal back, even after the Gemara Din, right? It's about to be stoned. This is the exact case. They quoted it from here. You can say, oh, here, take back your animal, even though the animal's about to go get stoned. Now, why is this? What's unique about all these cases? It's called hezek she'eino nikar. It's not noticeable. The change, you wouldn't know the truma was tamea. You wouldn't know the animal's going to be stoned. You know, you look at the animal, he looks exactly the same as it was before. And therefore, that's a shinoi that is not konet, because it's not enough of a change to affect a kinyan. Okay? So now, the Gemara is going to go into more detail. Amar Papa. Lo is kina is kina mamash, ela afilu kichasha. Even if it got weaker, like thinned out. So now they say, what do you mean? Baha anan his kina tnan. Right? Didn't we say it's his kina? And not only that, didn't the Mishnah use the case of his kina? But his kina, what's the difference? His kina is irreversible. If the animal thins out, it could always fatten up. So it should be different. So the Gemara answers, no. Kichasha kigon his kina. Delohadar barya. It's a case where he thinned out so much. It's a case where maybe he got sick and he's never going to be healthy again. And he'll never go back to being the same. That's what they're talking about. It's his kina, or if it got weakened and thinned out in a way that it would be irreversible. Amalei mar kashisha bered rav chistel rav ashi. Hachi kamar mishmed rav yochanan. Afilu ganav talev v'nasa ayil. Sound familiar? We saw this yesterday. Egel v'nasa shur. Nase shinoi biyado ukna'a. Right, if you bought a small, right, a young animal, and it changed its name, right, it reached the gil of bagrut, maturity, and turned into a different animal, right? It's called now a different animal. Obviously, it's the same thing; it just matured. That's considered a shinoi, and it would be kone. And therefore, tavachu machar, if after the maturity happens and you slaughter the animal and sell it, it's your own animal that you're selling because you've acquired it. And therefore, shalom tovech, shalom mocher. And therefore, you don't have to pay arba'a v'chamisha on this. Now, he said it, notice, Mar Kashish Bered Rav Chista said to Rav Ashi, that this is what they say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. I don't know if you remember this, but it's not whose name we learned about it yesterday. We learned it in someone else's name. So Amar Leh says back to him, Lama mina lecha, haven't I told you, lo tachlif gavre, don't mess up names of who said what. It's very important to pass things on in the name of the person who said it. And he says, hahu mishmeidu Rabbi Ila itmar. It was in the name of Rabbi Ila and not in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, that was a side thing. Now Rabbi Meir omer ba'avadim, omer lo haresha chalapanecha. Now we're going to get into this machloket, Rabbi Meir v'chachamim, just to review, and you can look at the chart. According to our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir holds avadim are like karka, and therefore there's no kinyan, and therefore you say haresha chalapanecha, and you return the animal exactly as is. According to chachamim, the avadim are kimitaltalin, and therefore you have to give it back at the value of b'shat gzela, and if it went down in value, well, that's the gazlan has to pay for that. So Amar Rav Chanina bar Abdimi Amar Rav Halacha ki Rabbi Meir. Rav Paskins like Rabbi Meir. So now the Gemara is going to question Rav from all different kivunim. The first question on this psak is Rav Shavik Rabbanam v'Avik Rabbi Meir, and it's why would he hold like Rabbi Meir against Chachamim? We generally hold by the majority opinion. So Amrei Mishum Debraita Ibchatanya. Now they're going to say, and this you can see in the chart, there's a Braita that teaches the exact same thing but flipped. The opinions are switched. Okay, we've seen this a lot of times where it's not clear who said what. There's a braita where it appears flipped, so therefore, in the end, what are we going to say? Rav doesn't really hold like Rabbi Meir, he holds like Chachamim. Okay? We're going to eventually, after we ask a whole bunch of other questions, we're going to get back to, well, if he holds like Chachamim, why does it say halacha ke Rabbi Meir? It doesn't say the halacha is avadim ki makar ke edami. He says the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. So then they say, why do you hold like Rabbi Meir? So he says, oh no, because it's really Chachamim. But then he shouldn't have said halacha ke Rabbi Meir. We'll get to that later. First, they're going to have a bunch of other issues. So if we're going to say that he's doing it because of the Braita, what's the problem? The Rav Shavit Matnitim Ba'avi ke Braita. Generally, if we have a Mishnah and a Braita that contradict each other, the Mishnah always has precedence. So therefore, how could he leave the, you know, set aside the Girsa of the Mishnah and take the Girsa of the Braita? So what are the answer? Rav Matnitim Nami Ibchatani. His version of the Mishnah was flipped. It wasn't like he said, oh, I'm holding like the Braita. It was that his version of the Mishnah matched the version that we have of the Braita. So now they say, my time de Rav, de apich manitim, kami de Braita. But still, right? Still, it means that Rav's nusach, he flipped it. You know, he must have flipped it to think that that was the right girsa. Adraba, nipuch le Braita, kami manitim. Again, we should have switched it. If he was going to switch it, he should have switched it that the Mishnah matches. The Braita matches the Mishnah, not that the Mishnah matches the Braita. So Amre, Rav Nami Manitin Ipcha Itnie. It's not that he switched it himself. It's that Itnie means it was taught to him. He was taught the version of the Mishnah that's flipped from ours. Okay, and that's why. Ibai Dema, or you might say, Kilo Apich Chada Makame Chada, Chada Makame Tarte Apich. What did we just say? That if you have a Mishnah and a Braita, right, which version is more important? We're always going to go by the Mishnah. But that's when you have one Mishnah versus one Braita. But if you have one Mishnah versus two Braitot, then two Braitot are going to be greater than the Mishnah. Okay, it's simple mathematics. Okay, so they're saying either you can say that Rav was taught the version of the Mishnah opposite of our version, and that was his version. I think the reason they don't want to go by that is if that was Rav's version of the Mishnah, and Rav was one of the most important Amoraim at the beginning of the time of the turnover, then our Mishnah should have matched his version. So therefore, they give a different answer, which is, well, there's two Braitot that say this. So one is the one they mentioned, which, by the way, they didn't even write in words. Usually they say, Ditanya, right? They didn't even bring it. But the assumption is the exact same thing flipped. But now they're going to bring a second one. And this, it's going to take a few minutes till we realize what the connection is. Okay, eventually what we're going to try to show is, or what we are going to see, is that according to Rabbi Meir, right, it's going to show that Avadim were like Metaltalim and not like Karka. Okay, that's going to be the bottom line here, but the topic is not the same topic. Titanya, Hamachlif Paraba Chamor V'Yalda, V'chein HaMocher Shifchato V'Yalda. There's a case of, you do a Kinyan Chalipin, right? I give you my para and you give me your Chamor. Now, if we did a Kinyan, okay, by Mashicha, of one of the, right, we took the Chamor, the guy who's buying the Chamor, pulled the Chamor, but he didn't yet give the para. And then at some point, the para has a child, right? The para gives birth. What?
We've seen that.
Right, we've seen this. So now we don't know, did the para give birth before the Kinyan Mashicha or after the Kinyan Mashicha? Because the para is still in the hands of the original owner of the para. It hasn't transferred hands yet. So we don't know when exactly it gave birth. Same thing, Kenam Ocher Shipchato, and there probably it was Kinyan Kesef, right, because Avadim were not Niknim B'Mashicha. He paid money for the Shifcha, and then the Shifcha had a baby, but we don't know, was the baby before the Kinyan or after the Kinyan? Okay, and therefore, who does it belong to? Does it belong to the new owner or the original owner? So now we're going to have three cases. You can look at the second chart on the page. Okay, we've seen these terms before of Bari and Shema. Do you remember what this means? Bari is when somebody is Batuach B'Mashu Omer. He says, this is for sure the case. This is what happened. Shema is when they say, I don't know what happened, okay? But I think it was when it was in my property, right? That's when you're unsure about a claim. So now we're going to have a bunch of different options here. Is somebody sure about their claim or not sure about their claim? Are both of them not sure? Are both of them sure? Right? We said we don't know, but maybe one of them claims he knows, right? So what are the three options of cases? Ze omer birshuti yalda. One of them says, it was in my rishut, right? Here it doesn't matter who said what, right? In other words, one of them is sure in their claim. I know for sure it was after it was sold to me, right? After the kid. Or I know for sure it was before the kid. Vehala, and the other one is shotek. Doesn't say anything. So what do we say? Zachaba. Okay, so the one who's bari gets to keep it. Zeomer eni yodea, because bar, right, obviously bari b'shema bari adif. That's the klal. If you have someone who's sure in their claim and someone who's unsure in their claim, the sure claim wins. Zeomer eni yodea, v'zeomer eni yodea. They're both shema. Yachloku, split it. Okay, we're going to get all the stuff above a metzia, right? If they don't know exactly who's who, so they split it. Zeomer b'shuti, v'zeomer b'shuti. If they're both bari, then what do? Yishava ha-mocher shebirshuto yalda. The one who is in his property now, the seller, who is in his property now, right? We always say, "Amotzi mechaveru alav haraya." And, but it's not enough to just say that in this case, because each one is kind of equal in their safek. So what does he have to do? He has to swear. He says, "I swear that it was a mayrishut." Now, why does he swear and not the other guy? Right? This is what we call shvua nishva ve'eno mishalem, or right, he doesn't, and it's here, it wouldn't exactly be to pay, but he doesn't do anything, right? It stays in its place, as opposed to shvua nishva ve'notel. Nishva ve'notel, we're going to get into all this in Bava Metzia, so if you don't get it all now, we'll get it later, but nishva ve'notel would be, I swear so that I can get something. Now, generally, the default is we do the shvua nishva ve'eno mishalem. We don't do nishva ve'notel unless, let's say, I'll give you one exception, the guy is chashud al shvua. This guy has sworn falsely before, we don't want to allow him to swear, so we allow the other guy to swear. But that's based on the principle, hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya, also. We always keep the property in the hands of who it's in, keep the status quo. So now, and here we say it, shekol ha-nishba'in shebatorah nishba'im ve'lo mishalmim, divrei Rabbi Meir. Right? That's the general principle. So Rabbi Meir holds, both in the case of the para and the case of the eved, what do we say? Right? Nishba ve'no mishalim. And all the other things he said. The chachamim omrim, ein nishba'in lo al avadim ve'lo al karkaot. What do we see here? When we swear only on metaltalim. We don't swear on karka, and we don't swear on avadim. So what do you see here? Chachamim hold, avadim are like karka. Rabbi Meir holds, avadim are like metaltalim. This braita now shows that there's two braitot that show Rabbi Meir holds, avadim are like karka, are like metaltalim. And the Mishnah holds, avadim are like karka. And therefore, we're going to flip it, and that's why Rav said, halacha karabi meir. Okay, so now they're going to ask the question I mentioned before. Hi, halacha karabi meir, halacha karabana mibayale. If he was saying that Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan switched shitot, so we should have said the halacha is like chachamim. We shouldn't have said the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. So, hachi kara, this is what he meant to say. L'mayda afchitu v'tanitu halacha karabi meir. To all you guys who hold by this mission, and you think that Rabbi Meir is the one who says, avadim are like karka, well, then I hold like Rabbi Meir for you. In other words, right, he's saying, it's basically like saying, in other words, avadim are like karka. Right? He's saying, I think Chachamim say it, you think Rabbi Meir says it, either which way, that's how I paskin. So I paskin like the way you say Rabbi Meir says this. Okay. That was all about the words, right, halacha ka Rabbi Meir. And now, in the end, the bottom line, okay, and this is what's going to lead to the next thing. The bottom line is, according to Rav, avadim are like karka. So now we're going to question that from something else that was said in the name of Rav that seems to contradict it, right? First, it was all about Rabbi Meir. Now we're going to talk about Rav himself. Mi amar Rav, avda kimakarka edami? Does he really say this? V'ha amar Rav Daniel bar Rav Katina amar Rav. Okay, Rav Daniel, the son of Rav Katina, said in the name of Rav. Hatokef ba'avdo shel chavero. If somebody grabs someone else's eved and does work with it, okay, here's our case of Gazlan, right? He does work with the eved, he's patur. Just like we saw in the case of the animals, right? He takes the eved, he uses the eved to work with, and then he returns the eved as is, right? B'shad Gzela. He's patur. V'isal kadatach, and if you want to say that avda kimakar ke'edame, amai patur, birishuta dimare kai. When we said with the ox in that other case, he acquired the ox. But in the avadim case, if you say avadim ala karka, the gazlan can't acquire the eved. If he can't acquire the eved, then he's using someone else's property. If he's using someone else's property, using his eved, he has to pay rent for the usage of the eved. So now, right, Rishute de Mare Kai means it's still in the Rishut of its original owner. Mare means owner, right? Like Abba Mari, my father, my Adon kind of thing. So it's in the hands of the original owner. So what's going to be the answer here? And this could lead us to a sugi we saw in the very beginning of Baba Kama, good review. Remember, Zenehene Vezelo Chaser? Remember all that, right? You benefit and the other guy doesn't lose out, so do you have to pay or not? So hacha b'mayaskinan shelo b'shat malacha. He took the eved in a time where the eved wouldn't have been working anyway, and zenehaneh v'zelo chaser. So it's true he's using someone else's property, but the guy wouldn't have been using it then anyway, and therefore it's no loss for him, and therefore he doesn't have to pay. Kiha, just like deshalach le Rabbi Abba lemeri barmar, Rabbi Abba sent to Mary barmar ba minei merav Huna. They asked from Rav Huna, hadar b'chatzar. He passed on this sentence, right? Rabbi Abba sent to Mary Barmar this whole quote. Ba minei merav Huna. They asked Rav Huna, hadar b'chatzar chaveru shalom midato. Sarich la'alot lo sachar o ein sarich la'alot lo sachar. Somebody goes into an empty house that nobody's living in. Does he have to pay rent or not, right? He goes without the knowledge of the owner. V'shalchule, and what did he send back? He sends back the answer, right? Eino tzarich la'alot lo sachar. Okay, so there you have it. Zeneh v'zeh l'chazir doesn't need to pay. That's why Rav said it. Not because he thinks avadim were like metaltalin and the gazlam was kone the eved. No, he wasn't kone the eved, but he doesn't have to pay for a different reason. So now they say, what kind of a comparison is this? Hachi hashta. Okay, let's see if you remember this. Bishlama hatam. There we understand why zeneh v'zeh l'chazir, because what did we in the end answer up there? Bein lamanda amar beit hamiyat v'yativ nichale. Bein lamanda amar v'shiyah yukachar nichale. It's good for the owner of the house to have someone living there. We gave two reasons. Either because it's always good to have a house lived in because you'll see all sorts of things that come up. You'll prevent damage from happening. And the other one is shiyah yukachar, that in an empty lot, there's always going to be problems. And some even thought it was mazikin are going to come. And, there's threats of demons and things like that. So, therefore, it's always good, right, haunted houses, it's always good to have the house inhabited. And therefore, there is some sort of benefit that the owner is getting. And therefore, he's happy to let someone use his house for free. That wouldn't apply. Maybe it would, but right now we think that wouldn't apply by an eved. There's no such concept by an eved. So, el hacha mi nichale, right? But by an eved, is it good for the owner to have the eved working? Ah, yes, it is. Okay, de nichush avde. Okay, I'm sorry. Mi nichale, sorry, I didn't read it right. Mi nichale de nichush avde. Is it good for him that his eved? What's going to happen if you work the eved too hard? He's going to be weak, and he's not going to want to work for the owner when it's time to work. So they say, no. Amre hachinami nichale. It actually is good for him. Why? De lalistere avde. So his eved won't get lazy. There's two sides to it. On the one hand, you don't want him getting too tired. On the other hand, you don't want him kind of enjoying the high life and not working. You want to keep him constantly working in work mode. So therefore, in the end, they say there is some benefit, and that's why this is all to answer why what Rav would say that in an Eved case, right, when it comes to if you steal the Eved, right, there's no kinyan on it, but yet you don't have to pay for usage of the Eved because it's good for the owner that the Eved keeps working. Okay, keep going. Be Rav Yosef Bar Chamu. Now we're going to have a case. Rav Yosef Bar Chamu, in the house of Rav Yosef Bar Chamu, what would they do? Havatakif avde de inche de masik behu zuze. Va'avde behu malacha. If there were people who owed him money and didn't pay him back, what would he do? He would grab their avadim and work them until the people paid him back the money. Okay? Eventually we're going to see that he stops doing this practice. Okay? But first we're going to start questioning it. How could he do this? Okay? Interesting is Rav Yosef Bar Chama. I mean, he's not like a random guy. He thought it was okay. I'm going to take these avadim. They'll work for me. And until they pay me back the money. And he didn't obviously pay them for the usage of the eved. So Amarle Rabba Birei, his Rabbi's son said, my time Avid Bar Hachi, why are you doing this? Amarle, I wonder if that's really Rabba Birei. One second. Rabba Birei. Okay. It's Rabba. This is the famous Rabba, was the son of Rav Yosef?
That's what it says.
Is it Bracham? Okay. Amarle Rabba Birei, my time Avid Bar Hachi, why are you doing this? Amarle, de Amar Rav Nachman, avde nehom krese lo shave. Okay, Rav Nachman, if you remember, had all these statements, right? He worked for the Resh Galuta, remember? He says all sorts of things. So he had this sometimes crass statement. So what did he say? An eved isn't even worth the bread you feed him. Okay? So therefore, what did he say? Well, it's true I stole these, right? I took these avadim to work for me until they pay me back the loan, but I'm feeding them. And Rav Nachman says that an eved isn't even worth the money you feed him. So basically, I'm actually doing the owners a favor because I'm paying their avadim, and their avadim aren't worth more than the food they get. I'm sorry, I'm feeding their avadim. So they're not worth more than the food they get. And therefore, I'm not doing anything wrong. Right? This is like good justification, right? Trying to say, oh, it's okay what I'm doing. Amar leh. Wait, he says to him, wait. Even the Amar Rav Nachman, what Rav Nachman said was kigon daru avde, de meraki be kube. But kulu avde, me'avad avde. He was only saying about certain avadim. He was saying about Daru, who's Eved, who would like dance in the, what's the Beikubi again?
Taverns.
The what?
Taverns.
In the taverns. He would dance in the taverns. You know, it was that Eved, isn't it? He said it in a statement of anger, you know. Oh, you're not even worth the food I feed you. But other avadim obviously are. Otherwise, why would anyone ever have an Eved, right? Wouldn't pay to have an Eved if you're paying them all your salary, right? It sounds like women who go back to work and pay all the money to the mitapelet and go work for the same amount of money that they're paying the mitapelet. Okay, so Amarle, Ana Kirav Daniel Svirali. So what does he say? That's not a good excuse, but I hold like Rav Daniel. Okay, you didn't accept my one excuse. I'll give you another one why I do this. Dama Rav Daniel Barav Katina Amarav. There you see it, right? You're patur. Now you have to remember, by the way, I didn't say this. It should have been obvious, but I should always say things that seem to me obvious. When you, in the first case we saw at the end of yesterday, where he steals the ox and uses them and then he's patur, it doesn't mean it's allowed, right? In other words, he's doing something wrong, okay? Same thing here. In other words, it's wrong. Just because it's patur, it doesn't mean it's allowed. Patur, we've seen this with Shabbat. Patur aval asur, right? It's asur midrabanan. But anyway, he says, but he's using this to justify it and say it's okay, which is strange, right? So therefore, what does he say? Why? But what's the logic? What did we say? Because there is, even though patur, what do we see here though? We talked about that there is an advantage to the owner. What's the advantage to the owner? I'm doing a favor for them so that their avadim don't become atzlanim from not working. So amarle. So now he says, wait, I got another problem with what you're doing. Okay, this is going to be a totally separate thing. What was the situation? People owed him money, and he now, right, let's say he gave someone a loan. He now, in addition to getting the loan back, right, what's he also getting? He's getting the avadim working. What is that going to end up looking like? Rebate. Because it looks like he's getting the money back plus a service.
That's what I was going to say. He's taking it, taking
exactly,
his interest.
Exactly. So that's what he says to him now. That's his next claim. Tough child, right? Giving his father all these problems. So he said, right, you can imagine the scenario, right? The kid grows up and starts to realize that something the father's doing just doesn't jive. And he, you know, it's so typical that a kid starts questioning. I don't understand, but I don't get it. Okay, so what does he say? Hanemile hecha de lo masik buzuze. I could see that's all in a case. The case we brought before was someone just steals an eved. But this is a case where they owe him money. So mar kevan de masik buzuze, but in your case, it's mechze kiribit. It looks like interest. As if you just steal, so there's no interest issue. But if someone owes you money, then it looks like you're collecting more than what they actually paid you. Damar Rav Yosef bar Menume, Amar Rav Nachman. Now here we're going to see a statement that supports this. Af al pi she'amru hadar b'chatzar chaveru shelo midato ein tzarich la'alot lo sachar. Even though you're allowed to do this, hilveihu v'dar b'chatzar chaveru tzarich la'alot lo sachar. So what does he say? If you loan someone money and then they move into your house, that's a problem because then it looks like you're getting interest. Okay, Who goes into whose house? You loan someone money, and then you live in their house, right? So they're giving you use of their house, and it looks like they're paying you interest. So what's the bottom end of the story? Amar leh, hadre bi. So the son wins out, and the father says, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. Good ending to the story. Okay. Now we're going to see another similar situation. Itmar, hatokes tfinato shel chavero v'asava melacha. What if you steal some? You grab someone's boat, and you do melacha with it? Amarav, ratza schara notel, ratza pachta notel. So the owner of the svina can either take rent for the svina that you used, or he can take depreciation value. Okay, we haven't talked about this yet, right? But obviously, there's depreciation on the item that you're using. There's potential anyway. So Rav says, either he pays the sachar or he pays the pachat, the depreciation. Ushmuel amar eino notel ela pachta. Right, the case of the shore, by the way, there was no depreciation. Right, until now, if you say that you only have to pay depreciation, what you're saying is he is koneh, but it's basically the same thing as saying mishalem kishatagzela, because right, what happens? He returns the item exactly as is. Well, if the item depreciated, then he has to return. He has to make up the difference. You follow? Right, if the animal was worth 100. And then the boat, let's say, is worth 100. Once he used the boat, it's only, it depreciated its value down to 90. So if we say that he did a kinyan on the Svina, and he only has to return the Svina, like the ox case, in the ox case, it was worth 100, and it's still worth 100, because you didn't depreciate the value of the ox by using it. But the boat actually depreciated. Something broke, etc. So what do you have to do? You have to pay 100 for Shatak Zela, because you acquired the Svina. You return the Sfina, but now the Sfina is less than what you did b'shadag zela, so you have to pay the difference. So it's the exact same psak if you say pachta. But Rav says, if the owner wants, he can demand rent for the use of the boat. So now we're going to have to explain what's going on here. Amar Rav Papa, lo pligi. They actually don't disagree. They're just talking about different situations. Ha de avide le'igra, ha de lo avide le'igra. Rav said, if he wants, he can demand rent money. Why? Because it was a boat that was up for rent all the time. And since he took it, and the owner wasn't allowed to rent it, so therefore he has to make up the value, right? This matches what we said earlier. Zena and Evezelo Chaser, right, would only be in the case where Zelo Chaser. In this case, he is Chaser. You're causing him to lose the rent, and therefore he can claim rent. If he doesn't want to, he could claim the depreciation. But either which way is allowed to. Right, and then Shmuel is talking about a case where it wasn't intended to be rented, in which case the only loss was the depreciation. V'ibay dema, another option is to say, havahada avidi le'agra, hadinachet, they're both in the case where it was meant out to be rented, but hadinachet le'adata de'igra, v'hadinachet le'adata de'gazlenuta. There's a difference between whether he took the boat with the intent to rent it, and according to Shmuel, he took the boat with the intent to steal it. And then according to this, if you steal it, you only have to pay depreciation. Even if it was up for rent, you still only have to pay the depreciation, because that's the laws of Gazlan. Gazal matbea benistak. Okay, a lot of these things, there's charts, you can follow along in the charts. Now, if you remember, we saw nistak versus nifsal. So nistak, if it gets cracked or broken, then we say that's hezek nikar, you can notice it, and therefore we're going to say that he acquires it. And if it's just nifsal, if they took it out of circulation, then that's eino nikar, and therefore we're going to say that it's not a shinoi, and the gazlan is not koneh. And therefore, haresha l'chalafanecha, he returns it exactly as is, right? It's this crazy case. You steal a coin that was worth something, and you give it back as worth nothing, right? Because it's now out of circulation. So we're going to talk about what exactly the cases are. Amar Rav Huna, nistak, nistak mamash, okay? As we explained, nistak is really mamash, it cracks, it breaks. Nifsal, psalto machut, okay? This is the first explanation, the way we explained it. Rav Yehuda has a different explanation. Amar, psalto machut, nami hainu nistak. If they really put it out of circulation, that is nikar, right? Because everybody sees it's an old shekel. Nobody uses old shekels anymore. That is noticeable. But
they
what's,
might become a collector's item.
They might become a collector's item. I don't know if they had such a thing in those days. Elahechi dami nifsal, shepesalto medina zo, viotza b'medina acheret. Okay, this is, if the currency was valid in the country at a certain point, right, then they said, we're not using the euro anymore, right, we're leaving the EU, okay, but you can use the euro in some other country, so go next door, go use it there. Okay, that's nifsal. That would be hezek sheino, you know, less of a shinoi, because it can still be used. Amar le Rav Chista le Rav Huna. So now we're going to go back to Rav Huna. Okay, you can follow this along in the chart. Ledidach de amar nifsal psalto machut. We're now going to have a question on Rav Huna and a question on Rav Yehuda. According to you, said that nifsal is psalto machut. Harei perot v'hirkivu yain v'chmitz tchi psalto machut ame. Okay, there's actually a different gear set that doesn't have the perot v'hirkivu, and I'm going to go with that because it makes a lot more sense. Perot v'hirkivu is actually somewhat different because they actually look different. Right? When your fruit rots, it changes, right? It looks different. But yain v'hichmitz looks exactly the same, right? Isn't that like chipsalto machut, where it looks the same, but yet it's unusable? V'katane, what does it say about yain v'hichmitz? Mishalem kishat agzela. You do have a kinyan on it. And you're saying, yeah, then yifsal machut, you don't have a kinyan. So amale, now there is a difference, okay? Hatam nishtanata amovirecho. It might look the same, but the taste is different, and the smell is different. But the coin didn't change in the slightest. It's just the use of the coin changed, but the coin didn't change. Amalei Rava l'Rav Yehuda. Now we're going to have a question of Rav Yehuda. Lididcha. Here it's supposed to say Rava. Okay, see, Rava and Rava. It's always a problem. You know why? Because in the books they used to write Reish Bet with a chip. Okay, so you know nobody would know when the editors came. They sometimes wrote the wrong name. Okay. Amar Rabba le Rav Yehuda, lididcha, and why would it be Rabba and not Rava? Probably because Rav Yehuda is two generations away from Rava, and he's only one away from Rava. So it makes more sense that Rava would be communicating with Rav Yehuda. Lididcha da amarta psalto machut, according to you who said that nisdak means psalto machut, and then what do we say? Mishalem kishat akzele, he has a kinyan on it. Nami hainu nisdak, right? Same thing as nisdak. Hare truma v'nitmet. What's truma v'nitmet? Also, the government, so to speak, right? God decided this is no good, right? There's no actual change happening to it. It's just some outside factors causing it to be pasul, and nothing actually changed in the item itself. V'katane, what does it say by truma v'nitmet? Lo haresha chalapanecha. We don't say mishalem kashat akzela. So amalei hatam lo minkar hezeka, hacha minkar hezeka. When it comes to the coin, everybody knows it is Nikar, because everybody knows you can't use new shekels anymore. You can't use the euro anymore in this country. Everybody sees it. I forget the euro. It's a bad example. We want something that's like the old shekel that no longer is used. Okay? But when it comes to the truma, it's not Nikar at all. And that's why there's a distinction. Okay. Next case. Hamelabet itmar. Hamelabet chaveral hamadbea v'nifsila hamadbea. Let's say you take out a loan for 100 shekel, and now there's no longer, right, 100 new, you borrow 100 old shekels. And now you go back to pay the money, and the new shekel is existing, and there's no old shekel anymore. So do you have to pay back the money? Can you say, oh, I owe you old shekels, and that's basically, I owe you nothing. Okay? There's a big machloket. We don't have time, I'm not going to go into it, but I'll give you the very brief breakdown about whether some people say, if you're talking it was a loan of money versus you owe money, for sure you don't have to pay anything back, because there's not even a question. The question is, if you loaned, let's say, fruits, and then you said, I'll pay you back 100 old shekels worth of fruits, since there were actually fruits that you got that had value, that now still have value, then maybe that's the issue. There's a whole debate about it. Tosfot says it has to be even a bit of a different case. I'm not going to get into it now. But anyway, so if you do that, ben ifsala matbea, Rav Omer noten lo matbea hayotze bo tasha. You have to give back the value of whatever 100 old shekels were in the new currency. Ushmuel amar yachol amar lo lechotzi o b'meishan. He could say, I'm going to give you old shekels. Okay, this would be better, an example of the euro. I'm going to give you euro. We don't use it anymore, but go to Europe. Go use it there. Okay, go somewhere where they use it. So I'm Rav Nachman. Now Rav Nachman's going to qualify Shmuel's statement. Mistabra milta de Shmuel de ile orcha lemeza lemeshan. It has to be that there's a straight route. There's a good route to get to Meshan. But if Meshan is so far away and the guy has no way to get there, lately or chalo, if he has no way to get to Meshan, then you can't give him money that's basically going to be pretty much useless to him. So now we're going to have a question on this explanation of Rav Nachman. Etive Rava le Rav Nachman from a Braita. Okay, etive always means we're going to bring a Tanaitic source. Ein mechalalin, actually, it's a Tosefta, a Maser Sheni. What's the laws of Maser Sheni? You have your payroll, you have to eat them in Yerushalayim, but we don't expect you to carry them to Yerushalayim. So you do a pidyon. You redeem them onto coins. You bring the coins to Yerushalayim. Okay, you can see where the connection is going to be about coins here. You're not allowed to do chilu maser on old shekels, okay, that are useless. Ketzad, hayu lo ma'ot kuzbiot Yerushalmiyot, ol shamalachim rishonim, okay, kuzbiot also, is it Shimon ben Kuziba, which people say is Bar Kochva. Some people say Shimon ben Kuziba was someone else who lived much later than Bar Kochva. And some people say that it's from the city of Kziv. Okay, maybe that's it. Either which way, it was a currency that they didn't use anymore. Okay, or of the old kings. Okay, right? They used to make coins of kings, right? Which again, after a while, become useless. Ein mechalalim. Okay, you can't use these kind of coins. But what does it say here? Of melachim rishonim. So hashal achronim. But it sounds like if it's a current king, okay, which what's unique about a current king? Well, it can usually only be used in a particular area where that king rules. Okay, so hashal achronim. Here's an assumption made from this brayta. Dumiyad rishonim mechalalim. Okay, so if you take some coin of some king, which isn't the currency used here, but you put your Master Sheni coins on it, it sounds like that would work. Okay, so Amarle. So how could you say that when Shmuel said, right, or Rav Nachman explained Shmuel that it's only if you can get to that city, and here it sounds like even if it's some king that lives who knows where, and you have that coin, you can do Master Sheni on it. So Amar Lei, Hacha b'mayaskinan, kishe'em machuyot machbidot zo al zo. That's going to be the answer. There's different, okay, this is all like his history about how it worked with the currencies there. So, or reality of the times. So if in the case where some ruler allows use of coins of the other ruler, then it's okay. That's when he said his statement, the Braita was about, the Tosefta was, a mechale, you know, that you can be mechalel on, again, the Braita didn't say it, it was an assumption of the Braita, that you can use coins of another king, because it's a case where the authorities don't care if you have other currencies around. But if they're makpid, and we're going to see Agade Kachar, they makpid, but right now we're going to say, if they're makpidim, that you shouldn't have currency of other people, of other currencies, then that's where Rav Nachman says, well, you know, it's only if you can get to the other city, because clearly you won't be able to use that here, right? Like nowadays, if you're in Israel, if you just try to pay someone in dollars, right, they probably won't accept it, but maybe you could get away with it somewhere, right? That someone could accept that money. But if the government said no one's allowed to use dollars in this country, then it would have to be where you had a way to get to America and use your dollars there. Okay? That's what we're saying. So now they say, wait a minute. According to this, what are you saying? That Shmuel's holding, when you say lech motzio b'meshan, it's a case where they won't allow you to use the currency in that country, right? They don't allow dollars in Israel. So if that's the case, the assumption of what does it mean, makpidot, not only do they not allow you to use the currency, but hechi matze memate lehu, how are you going to even bring it to Meshan? Because if they're makpidot, they won't even let you carry dollars around. They're very strict, okay? To lahakpid means no currency at all. So what do they answer? No, it's dimimata le'al yed chak. De lo bachshe, mishkeche kapte. It's not that they don't search your pockets all the time. In other words, if they found you with money, and they happen to see you have money, they would take it away from you. Okay? But they don't generally start bachashe. They don't start looking through your stuff, checking your wallet, do you have money before you leave the country, you know? So basically, you should be able to get out of the country. That's what Rav Nachman meant in Shmuel's statement. Go pay Meshan, because chances are you'll get across the border with your money. So therefore, you can give him the money, the old currency, and he can use it somewhere else. Okay, now we're going to have another question on Shmuel. Tashma. Eim chalalin al ha-ma'ot shel kan. If you're in Bavel taking your Master Sheni money, okay, I have a question which I didn't resolve, which is why you're doing Master Sheni in Bavel. Okay, maybe they were makbid to do it practicing for a certain time period, maybe practicing to keep it going. Okay, nowadays we don't do Master Sheni in Chutz La'aretz, but anyway. So if you're in Bavel, you can do your chilul pruta on currency of Israel. Vishel Bavel, right, this brayta was clearly written in Israel because it says Shel Kan. Vishel Bavel Vehen Kan, let's say you're in Israel, you can't, and you want to use Babylonian coins. Okay, you can't. Shel Bavel Vehen Bavel Mechalalim. Okay, but if you're in Bavel and the coins are bubbly, then you can. Now what's implicit from here? Katane Miat, Ein Mechalalim Al Ma'ot Shel Kan Vehen Bavel. Right? It sounds so weird. If you're living in Bavel, you can't flip it on a shekel? Why can't you flip it on a shekel, right? You're eventually going to get to Israel and use your shekels. So what are the answer? Right? And that was Shmuel's whole thing. Lech, bring it to Meshan. And you can use a currency that's unusable in your area because it will be usable somewhere else. And particularly here, you're going to Israel to use it. So hacha b'mayaskinan kishamachu yom makpidot zozam. Now you have to say, and here is a very strange thing. Before they said Shmuel was talking about machuyot makpidot also, but what did we say? They're makpidot 50-50, right? They're makpidot not to let you use the money, but they will let you cross the border with it, right? They don't notice it. But now you'd have to say that this case, where the Bright is talking about, where you can't use the, you know, bipoja your coins in Bavel on shekels, it's because it's talking about a scenario where they won't even let you across, right? They'll check your bags before you cross the border to Israel, and they won't allow that money, and therefore that money is basically considered nothing. Your mechalel, your ma'od on money that's going to be taken away by the authorities, you haven't done anything in your pidyon. So therefore, it's not allowed. So now we see the same term machiyot makpidot also is used differently now. It's they're makpidot and then some, right? All the more so. So then they're going to say, well, if you're going to say it's that, okay, we'll finish up in a minute. Ihachi shel bavel behem bebavel lemai chazu. But so what are you saying? You're in Babel. You take your Bavli coins. What are you going to do with them? If the machoyot makpidot, well, you're not going to get your stuff across the border, and you know what, how are you going to use them in Yerushalayim? So, and as this is all a question on, if we assume that that's what the Bright is referring to, a case where there's so makpid, so what are your Bavli monies going to help you? What's it going to do for you? So what are the answer? Chazu dezabimu behema umatzik liYerushalayim. Okay, it works for a situation where we're going to, what are you going to do? You're going to go close to the border, buy an animal, and take that animal to Yerushalayim. Okay, so then the last thing they say, v'itkinu, v'hatanya, but don't they say, hitkinu shiyu ama'od yotzop Yerushalayim, mipnei kach. Exactly, for this reason, what did they make a takana? That any currency can be used in Israel to buy master, you can, with your master shani money, you can go to Jerusalem and use, right? Jerusalem is that, every currency is allowed, right? You can see this nowadays. Try to buy in dollars in Ranana, no chance. But you go to Jerusalem, it's the tourist center, right? You can buy anything in dollars if you want it. So that's what they say. In Yerushalayim, there was a takana. So you should be allowed to use your Bavli Ma'od. So I'm Rabbi Seira, lo kasha. Kam bizman, now we're going to get, right? This is, again, they're answering a historical answer. Kam bizman shiad Yisrael tkefal ha'umot ha'olam. Kam bizman shiad umot ha'olam tkefal atzman. In other words, depends who was in rule. When they made this takana that you could use any currency, that was when they were in charge. But when other people were in charge, they wouldn't allow any currency, and then you'd have to bring your bubbly money, go to the border, buy an animal, bring that to Jerusalem, because there was no way to get it done. So this is a good, you know, if you wanted to learn about economics in the time of the, you know, and currencies in the time of the Gemara and the Mishnah and the Gemara, this would be a good thing to try to, you know, the problem always is that on the one hand, it's describing realities. On the other hand, all these things are given as answers to answer up questions, and it's not so clear that it 100% matches the reality. They're trying to give historical answers to explain contradictions, but whether or not that was the actual historical truth or not is a very good question.